O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength and his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, that's a slave, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he greatly increased his people and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees, and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Now, if and when you or some other of God's people feel seriously down, one of the appointed ways to come out of it is to praise the Lord. It's not a cheap psychological technique to praise God so you can feel better. I mean, the feeling better may happen, but it's because God is worthy of it. And to put our mind on the highest reality of all is certainly going to do us considerable good. Verse 2 says, sing unto him, that means unto God, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You say, how shall I sing to him? Well, we got the book of Psalms and a good hymn book. Verse 4 explains, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. What you're desiring, go to bed at night, a little bit of quiet, you're thinking about something, thinking about God, seek his face. Get up in the morning, eat your breakfast, get ready to go about some duties. Seek his face evermore. Keep on doing it. It is the face of God that you and I need above all else, and therefore we are to seek it actively. As the old writing goes, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us and give us thy peace. We're seeking the countenance, the light of the face of God. That's what we're desiring above all else. Yes, we have a thousand other concerns. Strength for the job at hand, deliverance from enemies, so forth and so on. Those are legitimate concerns. But above all else, God has made us in his image that we should be seeking his face. And insofar as we do that, other things are going to turn out as they should. Verse 5 tells us of Psalm 105 that we are to remember his wondrous works, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. That means thinking about wonderful things God has done that are described in the Bible. And I'll add this, think about wonderful things God has done in your life and talk to him about his grace and his mercy and his generosity and having done things in his Bible and in your life. And so David in this psalm begins with Abraham, the sort of father of the faithful, Isaac and Jacob, who lived long before his time. In verse 8, he speaks of the everlasting covenant, something that does not pass away. He goes on to 1,000 generations. Now, a generation is roughly speaking 21 years, more or less. 1,000 generations is 21,000 years, and according to the way time is measured in the book of Psalms, since the time of David, there wouldn't have been more than about 3,000 years. He was living about 1,000 years before Christ. Christ's living about 2,000 before us. That's 3,000 years. What's that compared to 21,000? And that covenant, those promises, are still just as strong as they were the hour they were made by the voice of God himself. The promises of God partake of the immortality of God. Keep that in mind. The promises of God partake of the immortality of God. That means they depend on God for their sustenance, for their carrying out, for their triumph. You could not get rid of the promises of God any more than you could get rid of God himself. They have something of his immortal essence in them. And so this covenant shows that God started out with a people that, humanly speaking, amounted to next to nothing. They were small in number, the tribe of the Israelites, very small compared to the Canaanites, who were massive in number. I've been to Holy Land and at least once seen the huge double walls that some of the main Canaanite cities had. It would be quite overwhelming, cities with vast walls like that. And the Israelites didn't have such walls, but they had something better. They had God himself. And so eventually the Israelites were overcome by the Canaanites because there were more Canaanites and better equipped, better organized, and they were enslaved by the Canaanites. But God doesn't let bad things happen to his people unless he can use it for their ultimate blessing. That's who God is. And we have to trust him when it feels bad in our life, or when we feel bereaved or run short or don't know which way to turn. Because God has a way of letting us get low in order to take us up very high. And then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. That's always best for us. And Joseph is an emblem of how God blesses his people. Joseph was brought out of slavery. He's sold into slavery by his jealous brothers unto a high official of Pharaoh, Potiphar. And Joseph was a man of great integrity. It was found out he could interpret dreams. Holy Spirit gave him that power. And word came to Pharaoh, who'd had some very worrying dreams, that there was a man in prison named Joseph, one of the captive Israelites who could understand dreams. And so Pharaoh himself sent for Joseph to come, shave, clean up, dress up, come out of the prison and into his distinguished court so he could interpret to Pharaoh what these dreams really meant. And he was successful in doing this. The Holy Spirit enabled him to do it. And Pharaoh knew that this thing was established by God and that Joseph was God's man. So Pharaoh wisely put Joseph number two in the kingdom next to him. And God was using this man brought out of slavery to become next in the throne to Pharaoh and to change all of human history past that time. And so one challenge we have here is that we must not allow ourselves to be overly discouraged if we get put in a bad place. If we get humiliated, if we don't win, if we get taken advantage of one way or another. That's what happened to Joseph, and look how God used Joseph. Often when God is going to use somebody in a significant way spiritually, he lets them be brought low. That's in his plan. We cannot exactly understand all the ins and the outs, but if God is going to take you up high, usually he lets you be brought low. And so God provided for his people through his now chosen servant who's manifested Joseph to get them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And as Joseph leads them, God's Spirit is providing everything they need: water, quails, manna. And God kept them under a supernatural cloud in the daytime that kept the sun from, with its heat, knocking them out. And the same cloud supernaturally turned to soothing light during the nighttime to camp over them, to protect them, and then to lead them the next morning. And so God led them into Canaan's land, the place he had decided he would give to them. Productive farmland, beautiful land, fruit trees, streams, and everything else farmers and people could need. The old gospel hymn says, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow." Verse 42 reminds us that this was because God remembered his holy promise to Abraham 1,000 years earlier. Why be worried if the promises of Christ were made 2,000 years ago? They're just as potent as the hour in which Christ made them out of his own mouth to the disciples and to others. According to verse 43, the living God can bring you out of your trouble, and you will be rejoicing as he does that. By the way, never try to limit the kinds of trouble that God can deliver you from. Many kinds of trouble. Don't don't narrow them down. Just wait and see. Sometimes you may feel that the heathen have got the best of you. I've seen that sometimes in families where an estate was unfairly settled. And so you got to decide whether you would go on being angry and grieved and upset and hating those who tricked you. Whether you say, God was involved and I can trust in him and he will provide all I may need. God can make it up to you so that you inherit the labor of those who went before you. Never feel God is short in his resources. God can provide when it seems there's nothing. Above all else, we're to keep in mind the very last verse of this psalm. It's the goal for which we're living the rest of our time here below. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. That is, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. And I'll say this, all of us, whatever you may honorably wish to inherit, dedicate it ahead of time to God and see what he will do. Anything you're wanting for years, and dedicate it to God before you got it. And you may be amazed at what he will do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Will you bow for the benediction?